Welcome to today's Media Clips broadcast. Today, we will be discussing with Josh Lawler of Zuber, Lawler and Del Duca, where he leads the new technology group at their firm with emphasis on blockchain, artificial intelligence, robotics, biotechnology, and other emerging markets. And with that, Josh, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Ilan. Appreciate it.
What I'm going to do is jump right to the first question.
Okay.
Please provide with our audience and listeners a brief overview of the concept of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain. I know it's a complicated area, but to the extent you can just provide us an overview, a lot of people are interested to learn more about it.
Sure. Well, I'm going to start with the blockchain piece of that because that's the foundation. A blockchain is a form of a distributed ledger that is open for anybody to see, is immutable, is by most standards unhackable, and therefore allows people to do transactions on a trustless basis. You don't have to necessarily trust the other person. And you know, very, very quickly, the technology behind it, the idea is that you've got a bunch of different, they're called nodes, that are all holding a full copy of a ledger. And when you say ledger, it's the same as any other accounting ledger, at least in the case of Bitcoin. And when a transaction comes through, those different nodes all validate that the person sending Bitcoin, for instance, has the Bitcoin to send, that the person receiving it has an appropriate wallet to receive it. And only when the nodes all agree that a transaction is valid does it get entered into the blockchain, at which point it is, again, everybody has a full copy of it, so it's verified. What you didn't see there was any kind of a broker or intermediary or escrow or any of that nature. So it's actually quite revolutionary when you think about the applications. Bitcoin is kind of the first application, if you will, that came out. It's a payment system originally, and now kind of a store of value because each Bitcoin has become so expensive. And it was released via a white paper in 2008 by an anonymous person or group going under the name Satoshi Nakamoto. And it kind of set the standard. It is now at a point where it's demonstrated not to be really truly scalable, but that leads us to the next question, which was cryptocurrency. There's no reason why any number of applications can't be done using a blockchain or similar methodology. And that has sprung literally thousands of different applications and projects, many of which generate their own tokens or coins, which are collectively called cryptocurrency, basically because some of them operate as a virtual currency and all of them through their consensus methodology have some type of cryptography involved to protect the process.
Thank you. That is a very complicated area, and I think that was a great overview just to get us a little taste of what it is. Jumping forward, many of the people who we work with are involved in different areas of the entertainment industry, whether that's film, television, video games, music. What we're trying to share with them is what may be, and again, this may be more of your crystal ball prediction, but maybe key areas of opportunities and maybe risks for them to keep in mind as they consider jumping into the blockchain pool. What could be an opportunity for them, or what could be perhaps also a risk for them to keep in mind?
Sure. Well, obviously it depends on your perspective, and what is a opportunity or risk for an independent producer is very different than what's an opportunity or risk for a studio, for instance. For the former, there's no question that there's an opportunity for content creators to be able to get their content out to their audience directly in ways that have never been available before. There are many projects, whether they be dealing with music or film or anything else, where there is a protocol in place where the content creator can kind of post the availability of their content on, you know, a website, kind of a marketplace-ish type website, where somebody else who wants to view the content or listen to it can purchase it directly using some form of a token, a cryptocurrency, which the content creator, once they receive it, can then bring to, you know, a cryptocurrency exchange and turn that into a regular fiat currency, you know, dollars, for instance, which they can then use to, you know, buy the groceries and pay their taxes. That has resulted in kind of an unprecedented level of access from the content creators to the public without, you know, a whole panoply of distribution fees and kind of bottlenecks in between. Now, if you're a movie studio, for instance, things aren't necessarily so bad. Obviously, distribution is very important to you, and you want to hold on to distribution. That part maybe is a little bit difficult, but at the same time, you know, there are blockchain applications that will do things for you, like allow you to use a blockchain to store assets that go along with a film production, for instance. So all the different dailies and the soundtrack and everything else, which are much more secure and much more efficient than the current ways of doing things. So, you know, if you're Sony, you've got a Blockbuster, ordinarily you have to worry about somebody kind of stealing it in advance and releasing it overseas and piracy and BitTorrent and all those types of things. You're now in a position where it may be a lot easier to protect the various assets. So the uses are just extremely wide ranging.
Great. So recently at the Tribeca Film Festival, the first independent feature length film fully financed by crypto funding has been screened and subsequently released. And this may be one example of other things that are going on in the marketplace that you see. We need to kind of now shift to the future. And if I'm an entertainment company, or if I'm involved in one capacity or another in the entertainment industry, how do I prepare myself for the future as more and more of these transactions take place? As you mentioned before, as the blockchain mechanism takes more and more let's call it more of the mainstream processing of transactions. What does the future look like? You know, if you look now 5 years, 10 years from now, and again, this is your best guess as to where we are headed. And what do I need to do to prepare myself for that change?
Sure. I suppose I should have said at the beginning, this is neither legal nor business advice. with that said, we really are in a world where a little bit, it's the more things change, the more they stay the same. If I'm a film producer and I'm looking to finance an independent feature, which I actually have done, and I understand how unbelievably difficult it is to do, certainly the idea of, you know, tokenizing a profit interest in the film so that I can sell it as a token, and, you know, the world is out there buying cryptocurrency tokens right now, kind of willy-nilly and kind of a craze, it's attractive. But the thing to recognize is that, you know, you're really there not doing anything that requires a blockchain, and you're really not doing anything new. It's the same type of interest that you used to sell as an LLC unit, for instance, or, you know, just a contractual right if you were doing it the intelligent way. But it's still subject to securities laws, which is very important. So, you know, a proper disclosure document that says not only, hey, we've got this token and it's an equity portion of this film and you're going to get profits, but also something that says, you know, by the way, this is how we intend to distribute it, and here's how likely there are to be profits, which, you know, in the film industry, we all know that, you know, net profits are known as monkey points. So your return on investment in that token may not be very good. If you don't have that kind of offering document, even if you've got your film funded, you probably have committed securities fraud. So that's a bad thing. So again, you know, as usual, solid counsel, solid accountants, critical to the process. And I guess I'd say not getting too caught up in kind of the excitement of the new technology. Now, as far as what things will look like in the future, there's no question that, like all the advances in the technology, there's a democratization, if that's a word. It's making things more open to general public than it used to be, just because the information is kind of transmitted in a more efficient and widespread manner. But I'm gonna stick with the idea that the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, there's still securities law, there's still tax law, and these things aren't going away. So hopefully, you know, your producer will still get their cluster of professionals in advance to help them through the process.
I think what you're saying, call your lawyer. That's probably the most important point.
Maybe.
Josh, I have one final question as a follow-up.
Sure.
What types of needs clients come to you right now with respect to this area of blockchain and all of the above that we've discussed? What types of needs do they have at the moment?
Oh, wow. So, you know, in terms of our practice, we're seeing a lot of token issuers come to us. And I think the real draw of our firm, as opposed to some others, is that we're very good at meshing the actual token business use case against, you know, in our case, mostly the securities laws, but certainly some tax law as well, that apply when you're raising capital. So, you know, from that perspective, you have to kind of keep in mind that this is a wonderful technology and the use cases are amazing. And with respect to the securities law for capital formation, it's a little bit of the tail wagging the dog. So, you know, the goal really is to comply and be legal to the extent that you have to, recognizing that, you know, unlike selling stock, for instance, financing things is actually not really your primary goal. It's the use case. So there's that. Many of our clients are actually on the technical side of things, and it's, you know, intellectual property protection and some patent protection, things of that nature. And then we have a number of clients that are adopting more of a merchant banking or fund model where, you know, they're creating a fund to invest in distributed ledger technology companies, which might include taking tokens and might include taking stock or might include, you know, joint venturing with somebody to put an exchange in some, you know, foreign territory. We've got a lot of that going on. So it's a really very varied and exciting practice.
And I think that concludes all of our questions, Josh. I really, really appreciate all the feedback you've provided. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. And to the extent there are any questions, Josh, what would be the best number to call you directly?
Sure. You can reach me at 213-596-5620, or you can email me. I'm always happy to get email at jlawler@zuberlaw.com, which is available on our website. Always happy to discuss. And
right.
thank you
thank
for
you
having
Josh.
Me, Ilan.
Absolutely. Alrighty. Our pleasure. Thank you.